After Moshe, having been given all of the instructions for the construction of the Mishkan and the development of the special Big Day Kahuna, we are now ready in Parshas Vayakhel and Pekudei for the actual construction of these important items. And interestingly, right at the outset, in the beginning of Perek Lamed Hey, we have one of the multiple references that we find in the Torah, and here, among others, it's not the only time, but here is a very prominent time, or juxtaposed to laws relating to the Mishkan, we have the Torah inserting halachos relating to Shabbos. Sheshes yamim ta'aseh melacha b'yomashvi yelachem kodesh Shabbos Shabboson Lashem chalosa bo melacha yumas. This very, very famous pasuk. 6 days you work, and on the seventh day you must rest, and if you violate that, you are subject to a capital punishment. That pasuk is introduced right here at the outset, right before the actual start of the construction of the Mishkan. And Rashi quotes from Chazal, who wonder why we have this juxtaposition. What does one thing have to do with another? Why is it being inserted right here before the construction of the Mishkan? And Rashi teaches us the profound and important lesson that as important as building the Mishkan is, you should know that the halachos of Shabbos are more prominent, more important, and they are controlling. That is to say that you cannot violate Shabbos, even to do something as wonderful and lofty as building the Mishkan. Even that mitzvah is eino doches haShabbos, in the words of Rashi. And this principle, which is not only true in the specific and limited sense of the Mishkan not being able to be doches haShabbos, but it is considered a paradigm for the broader approach that any act you have, no matter how virtuous you might think it is, no matter how much of a mitzvah it might be, in general, we never violate Shabbos. Shabbos is so sacrosanct that under almost no circumstances will we ever be willing to violate Shabbos, even to fulfill a wonderful mitzvah like the Mishkan or any other mitzvah you might be thinking of. The only exception would be if a person has a risk to life, pikuach nefesh, but other than that, we don't violate Shabbos, even in pursuit of other noble and religious goals. With that background in mind, a number of the poskim in the mid and late 20th century addressed the following question, which on the one hand, could theoretically you could say is timeless, but it became particularly timely with the growing assimilation and alienation of many, many Jews across the world. And the question was, could an Orthodox family invite over non-Orthodox, non-religious, non-Shomer Shabbos friends or relatives to their house to enjoy a Shabbos experience, a Shabbos meal? On the one hand, it sounds like such a wonderful idea. What a beautiful experience and a show of a brotherly love. On the other hand, if you can assume almost as a guarantee that by that invitation, the people you're inviting will be driving on Shabbos and violating Shabbos, are you allowed to invite them? Or perhaps by you inviting them, you are causing them to sin, and then you yourself are in violation. So this is the question. Among the many poskim who were strict on this matter is Rav Moshe Feinstein. And in a very important tshuva, he assumes that that would be a Torah prohibition, an Isser D'oraisa, to invite the person. After all, he says, by you inviting him or her to come to your house, you are causing them to be Mechal Shabbos. They are driving to your house, and every minute, every second, their foot is on the gas on their way to your house. It is as if you're causing them to sin because they're coming because of your invitation, and therefore, you have violated the Torah prohibition of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Mikshol. You are putting a stumbling block before someone. You are causing them to sin. Other contemporary poskim are not as convinced by Rav Moshe's strong words. Rav Asher Weiss and others point out that since most likely, or pretty much guaranteed, this person would be driving and be Mechal Shabbos anyway, the only thing that you've changed is the destination of where they're driving. But if you hadn't invited them to your house, so then they'd be going to the mall, they may be doing, who knows what they'd be doing, but they'd be almost definitely being Mechal Shabbos and driving anyway. And therefore, as long as they were going to sin anyway, it cannot be said that you are the one who caused or enabled the sin, and therefore it would not be a Torah violation, it would not be an Isser D'oraisa of Lifnei Iver. That's one area of debate. However, others who are strict point to the fact that even if you could agree with that assumption that you have not caused the person to sin in any direct way, however, there are Rishonim, notably the Tosfos and the Rush, who hold that even when you have not caused a person to sin, even when your action is not integral and necessary for the person to sin, but nevertheless, to in any way, even minor, participate in even the most minor way, in any way, facilitate or help a person sin, even if it's far less than causing or enabling, something much lower than that, much more peripheral than that, it may not be an Isser D'oraisa, but there still may be an Isser D'rabbanan, there may be a rabbinic prohibition. And therefore, some say that it's true the person might be driving anyway, and therefore that's why you're not over the Isser D'oraisa of Lifnei Iver, but it still might be prohibited rabbinically, it still might be an Isser D'rabbanan. But to this also, Rav Asher Weiss says he doesn't think that's true, he's not persuaded by this. After all, he points out, it's tragic, but we have to acknowledge the fact that the people that we're talking about inviting, most likely this isn't them just violating Shabbos, but otherwise they're observant. And now the question is, how much was I responsible for this particular violation of Shabbos? We're talking about people who are generally non-observant, generally secular in the way we, you know, in our colloquial use of the term. And therefore they're violating all the averos, more or less. You know, yeah, obviously everyone does good things. Everyone does some mitzvahs, but for the most part, they don't see themselves bound by Torah mitzvahs. They don't believe in that. They're not brought up with that. Whatever the reason is, they don't accept the whole system of halacha. And according to some important poskim, notably the Shach, in his commentary to Shulchan Aruch, this whole secondary prohibition, known as Misayeya, that you can't even help a little bit, you can't be involved even on the periphery, that only is true, that is limited to someone who's fundamentally observant, but at the moment is tempted and weak and doing a particular avera. We're all, none of us are perfect, we all sin, we all have our moments of temptation. So it's in that moment, said the Shach, that there's a special halacha that you can't help even a little bit, you can't be involved even on the periphery, and if you do, that's Nisur Derabanan. But if you have somebody who is fundamentally and in a wholesale level rejects the authority of halacha and the Torah, and therefore it's not just that they happen to be sinning in a moment of weakness or temptation, but in general they sin because they don't accept the whole premise of the Torah and halacha, so then while it's still true you can't enable or cause the person to sin, that's a Torah prohibition of lifnei iver, but this secondary prohibition called misayeya, that you can't even help on a peripheral level, that may not apply in the case where the person is in general not religious at all. Another factor which is mentioned is, do we look at the big picture? After all, even if you've helped them sin, but by exposing them to orthodoxy, to friendly people, to people who have a beautiful Shabbos table, maybe you're in the broader sense bringing them closer to Shabbos. And many poskim accept that ends justifying the means in this situation as yet another argument to permit. As I mentioned, Rav Moshe Feinstein and some other poskim are machmir, but many other poskim, including Moshe Sternbach, Rav Asher Weiss, and others, are mekil. And some poskim, which include my Rebbeim, accept a requirement known in the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that you should offer the person the ability to sleep over and come over before Shabbos. Even if they don't take you up on that, but by offering, that would help as well.